And it's good to have John back this morning. Yay! And praise team, y'all always do a great job. So great to see all of you today. And as you buckle down, get ready, hunker down for the hurricane. It's going to be a lot of rain. Going to be a lot of rain over the next few days. But today we're starting a new series, our Mission for Missions. And today I want to talk to you about why, the purpose of missions. Answering the why is an important thing in life. Do you know your why? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you do what you do? Your why is the one constant that will give you what you need to move towards fulfillment in your work and life. Why do you do what you do? Many in the business world will tell you that discovering your why is the number one thing that you must do to be successful. What is it about you? What is it that you are passionate about? The Japanese have a term, ikigai, which can be translated a reason for being. This includes things that give you purpose and makes your efforts worthwhile. It's about the thing that gets you up every morning. The why is the root cause of your goals in life. Finding out about our why will enable us to have clarity about our purpose. It will help us have passion for reaching our goals. It will keep us focused on our goals. Now, this is true not only in a business for an individual, but also, I would say, in the church. And for us as Christians, why do we do what we do? Why is discovering our why important? Well, we need to have a vision and a purpose in the church. We don't want to be adrift in some open sea. You know, we want to have a destination in mind. And or else we're just going to float around aimlessly in circles. We won't accomplish what we need to accomplish. So as a church and as individual Christians, we need to know our why when it comes to our spiritual lives. The problem is that we can become so distracted by so many different things in life. We can be distracted by programs and checklists. We can be distracted by culture shifts and the problems of life. I read that distraction is the enemy of success and productivity. I think we all get distracted. We lose our focus and we drift, and pretty soon we look back and we wonder what happened. I mean, I was so on fire. I was so determined. I was so focused. And I've had a lot of time in my life where I've had goals that I was really on fire about, and I started out focused, but somewhere along the line, I found myself distracted, nowhere nearer the ultimate goal than when I started. Has anybody else here had that experience? Anybody else here? Raise your hand if you have, because I don't want to feel lonely up here, okay? You know, and it's a bad thing, but I'm glad others know what I'm talking about. What is it that will help us keep those distractions at bay? I think the answer to that is our why. What is our why? Knowing the why will keep us focused on the prize. Jesus understood this, and he gave his disciples a why, a reason and a purpose for being. And as we begin this series on missions, I think we need to go back to Jesus' words about the mission that he was giving his disciples. Now, we normally think of missions like something that's foreign to us, something overseas. Missions is about sending money to India or Africa. But in truth, missions is simply obeying the mission. Think about that. Missions is simply obeying the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had spent 3 years preparing these men for what was coming. He knew that he would not be physically present with them to plant churches and share the gospel. One day, he would ascend back to the Father, and when we get to Matthew 28, that day has come. Jesus had a mission, he had a purpose, he had a why that he wanted to instill in his disciples. So let's read in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, as I was reading that text, it made me realize that Jesus was laying out for his disciples his purpose for them and for the church. Our why, if you will. Because we want to honor God and we want to help other people come into a spiritual transformation, that they will know God as their personal God, that they will know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So missions is basically this. First of all, building relationships that honor God. In our text, we read that they came and they worshiped Jesus. And I think if you boil it all down, missions is really about more and more people just worshiping Jesus. Now, God has always desired for his creation to worship him. There is a relationship that God desires, his people worshiping him. When we worship God, we honor him. And as you would imagine, the psalmist encouraged the readers of the Psalms to worship the Lord. In Psalm 29:2, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Again, in Psalm 85:6, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." In Psalm 86:9, "All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name." So this concept of all nations coming and worshiping the Lord, that fits right into what we believe missions is all about. When we worship God, we are acknowledging our need for God. We are confessing that we don't have all the answers. We are submitting to his will. We are putting God in the rightful place in our life as Lord and King. We cannot honor God if we're unwilling to worship God. We believe that this is a huge purpose for the church, to call people to worship Almighty God. We're not here to see each other, to recognize each other, to pat each other on the back, although that's a part of what happens. But we are not here to honor ourselves. We are here to honor God. Amen? So the question is, and let me say, worshiping God is not limited to being inside this building. Worshiping God is a daily thing that we do. So, are you worshiping God? Is this part of your purpose for living? To honor him in all that you do? Now, we read in the text that these disciples were to make more disciples under Jesus' authority. They had to build relationships with other people in order to make them disciples. You don't just walk up to somebody and say, "You are a disciple." You have to develop a relationship with people. And through those relationships, we honor God. You see, the plan for the church and the growth of Christianity was laid out for these disciples by Jesus. They were to reach others, who would reach others, who would reach others. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we read this, Paul writes, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." The idea is that we share Christ with others and we make disciples of them, and they go and share Christ with others. As Christians, we should have this as our goal. We want to spread our faith to others who will spread our faith to others. This is also the goal of the church. We want to create an environment where this happens. And so we have to help develop disciples who will be willing to develop disciples. We were not created to be spectators in this effort. If we are disciples of Christ, we're to follow His example. And by His example, we see Him pouring Himself into the lives of those disciples to influence them in their walk with God. And that is what He is calling you and me to do even today. This is the ultimate goal of all mission work. Call people to be disciples. So we see the early Christians doing this. They went from city to city sharing their faith. They talked to their friends. They talked to those they worked with. They talked to customers. Anyone who would listen, they were talking to them about Jesus. They looked for opportunities to draw people into relationship with them so that they could draw them into relationship with Christ. But they were not alone, because Jesus promised His presence to the very end of the age. His presence indicates relationship. He is not far off like some deadbeat dad. He is present with us every single day. And when we seek His presence every day, I think that's another way of honoring Him. Jesus promised His presence through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, beginning in verse 25, we read, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Later in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, we read, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." So friends, we live in a different age than those disciples lived in, because today we receive the Spirit of God when we come into relationship with Christ. The Spirit of God is with us as we seek to live our lives in a way that honor God. It is the Spirit of God that draws us close into relationship with God. So our mission, our purpose, our goal is that more and more people have this relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Those relationships are all about the purpose of honoring God. When we think of missions, we are committed to missions because missions is all about bringing people into a relationship with God that honors Him. And the result of these relationships leads to this, that building relationships that lead to spiritual transformation. This is what's going to happen in the individual person's life. Spiritual transformation means that our lives are transformed, or they are changed into the image of Christ. As Christians, again, this is our mission in life. As Christians, we don't want to be like Mike. Anybody know that commercial? Oh, well, that one just died. Died right on the... Not Mike Dawson. Not Mike Dawson. Michael Jordan. We don't want to be like Mike. We want to be like Jesus. In our text, we read Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What does that mean to be a disciple? Again, the word means a follower, a person who wants to imitate their teacher. As disciples of Christ, we follow Christ rather than this world. Our goal as a disciple is to become more and more like Jesus. We want to imitate Jesus. As disciples, our goal is to develop a relationship with Jesus. You see, the relationship with Jesus is transformational. It will change us. Think about Jesus and his disciples. They spent all this time together. In fact, they spent 3 years traveling and living together as Jesus taught them about life and about faith. That relationship with Jesus transformed those disciples. They began as uneducated, simple, and sort of scaredy cats. And they became world changers. I mean, they were afraid of their own shadow, and they became courageous, even to the point of death. Paul wrote about transformation in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He wrote, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes through the Lord, who is the Spirit." You see, the Spirit, when He lives in us, begins to transform us. And we can't have that Spirit unless we have Christ as our Lord and Savior. The transformation into the image of Christ is the goal. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Paul became a teacher. He was a disciple of Jesus. He tried to become more like Christ. And those whom he taught, by imitating him, would also become more like Christ. That's the goal. In Ephesians 5:1-2, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Friends, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we become more and more like him. We are more loving, we are less selfish. This is transformational. This is ultimately the purpose of all missions. Our purpose is to help more and more people come into a transformational relationship with Jesus. That relationship is for all people from all nations. That's what Jesus said. Certainly, when we think about missions, we do think about missions that are foreign missions, abroad. But the truth is that all nations also includes us, right? Here in America, right here in Greenville, we have a mission to accomplish. At Christ Church, we think of this in terms of local and global missions. We are committed to supporting both. Locally, we support missions like Mid-Atlantic Christian University, Carolina Pregnancy Center, Campus Christian Fellowship, 86 Hunger, and other local efforts to transform lives in our own backyard. We also support global missions like Central India Christian Mission, Togo Christian Mission, Rwanda Challenge, Pioneer Bible Translators, and others around the world who, again, are trying to transform lives. So in thinking about missions this way, we keep our focus on the all. We have responsibility not just in our local area, but in other regions of the world. It's not either or, but it is all we can do. We try to partner with missionaries who are doing the work of spiritual transformation around the globe and locally. Transformation comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned this a little, but when we become Christians and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Holy Spirit brings about change. Jesus' command was to be baptizing the nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That was what we read in Matthew 28, 19, to baptize all of these. When we're baptized, the Holy Spirit moves in and takes up residence in our soul, and then He begins the work of transforming us. Life change means obeying Jesus rather than our own desires. The fruit of the Spirit is all about obeying Jesus. It is about changing from being controlled by our sinful nature to producing the fruit of the Spirit. We move from anger and rage and malice and hatred and sexual immorality to love and joy and peace and patience. We cannot live by the Spirit unless we have been transformed by the Spirit. In fact, I would suggest that living by the Spirit means every day being transformed by the Spirit. In Romans 12:2, we read, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, friends, our minds are renewed when we begin to focus on Christ and our relationship with Him. The Spirit of God helps us to become imitators of Christ. We strive to have His attitudes and His philosophies about life. We attempt to treat others as Jesus would treat them. We want to love as He loves. And so if our mission is to honor God and build relationships that lead to spiritual transformation, why would that be our mission? What is our why in this? Well, ultimately, we love God with all of our heart. I love God because He created me and He loves me in spite of all the bad things that I've done. He desires a relationship with me so much that He gave His Son on the cross that I could have a relationship with Him. And I love Him because I know He has plans for me. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I have hope and a future because of God, because of what Jesus has done for me. Even when in life I struggle and hope seems to diminish because I get distracted, I know that God has other plans for me. I mean, in this world, I may be going through some painful things, but God has other plans for me. In this world, we might be seeing all kinds of terrible things taking place, but I know God has other plans for me. Amen? God has other plans for me. This is not it. There's something else beyond this. So my why is my love. I love God. And my love motivates me to action. I read about a preacher that went to a class, and there were a bunch of little kids in the classroom, and they all had a very serious look on their faces, and he asked them, "Well, why do you love God?" And I guess this might have been his son that said after a moment, this small voice in the back said, "I guess it runs in the family." Well, I hope it does run in the family. I hope that in your family, everyone in your family loves God. But I also know that every individual has to make the decision. Just because mom and dad love God and serve God doesn't mean that you will. You have to make a decision about your relationship with God. You have to have a better reason for loving God than the fact that your family loves God. And once you discover your why, maybe you'll be able to focus on your own spiritual transformation and then help others with their transformation. In closing, our purpose and goal in missions is to help others around the world experience that spiritual transformation so that they can honor God. And I read about a guy who has lived this out in his life. His name is Justin Wren. He was an All-American wrestler in college, and that moved him into the world of mixed martial arts. I think there's a picture of Justin that, I don't know if y'all can see it very well. That's one of the nicer pictures of Justin. He looks more domesticated here. But I actually heard an interview that Justin did about when he was a child growing up and how kids in school picked on him mercilessly. I mean, there were elaborate schemes that almost the whole school was in on because he was overweight, and they just picked on him, and he actually thought about taking his own life on several occasions. But this moved him to a point where he felt like he wanted to learn how to defend himself, and he got into wrestling, and he became very good at it. But as his success and popularity skyrocketed in the MMA world, so did his addiction to cocaine and alcohol and narcotics. His life hit rock bottom when he was kicked off of the world's best fight teams for drug use. And he said, "My childhood dream had turned into a living nightmare. But when everyone else had written me off as beyond redemption, one friend, Jeff, refused to walk away. He called me several times a day, inviting me to a Christian men's retreat. I was expecting a bunch of kumbaya moments around a campfire, but the men were raw and real about their struggles." After opening his life to Christ, Wren wanted more than MMA fame. He started volunteering at local ministries and prisons, sharing his story with anyone who would listen. And then he offered this prayer to God. He said, "God, I'm yours. Is there anything you want me to do? I desire to do your will, not mine." God began to transform him. God answered his prayer with a vision of working in the jungles. And there was a Bible passage in Isaiah 58 about God's heart for the poor and the oppressed. And he explained what happened next. He said, "I shared my vision with my mentor, Caleb, and he immediately knew I was describing the Mbuti, or pygmy tribe, in the Congo. He told me he was leading a group there in a month, and he encouraged me to go with him. He said our goal on this trip would be to find the most remote Mbuti villages in the jungle, form relationships with them, and learn more about their needs. He said, I saw firsthand that circumstances there were graver than I had seen in my vision. And after several months back home, I still could not shake my burden. Caleb connected me with Shalom University, a Congolese Christian school dedicated to serving the pygmies. I knew I couldn't help them unless I understood them first. So I lived with them for a year. I slept in a twig and leaf hut, ate their food, suffered from the same diseases." Now, I'm going to say this, Dennis and some of the others of you, y'all have been on missions trips with me. We have not slept in twig and leaf huts. But this guy was really committed. "One bout with malaria nearly killed me," he wrote. "But no matter how tough things got, I felt more at home than I ever had in the gym. I was soon adopted into the pygmy tribe and given a new name, Ifeosa Mbuti Mangbo." Mbuti Mangbo means the big pygmy. He said, which was appropriate since he was 6'3" and he towered over these pygmies who were about 4'7". But Ifeosa means the man who loves us. Recently, after a 5-year hiatus, he writes, I returned to the MMA cage with the goal of raising money for Fight for the Forgotten, the organization I founded to help serve the Pygmies. The drive to fight is still there, but I'm no longer fighting my inner demons. I'm fighting to fulfill God's call in my life. Justin discovered his purpose, his mission, his why. He allowed Jesus to transform his life, and then he was willing for God to use him to help transform other lives. That is the heart of missions. And I hope you have a personal mission in life. And I hope you will join us in this mission that we have as a church. Father, we come to you and we thank you for loving us. Help us figure out our why. Help us to have the same purpose in life and in church, to honor you and to build relationships that lead to spiritual transformation. I pray for our missionaries around the globe and also those who are local who are making every effort to accomplish that goal. And I pray, Father, that each of us would be transformed by your Spirit who is living in us, and that we would develop those relationships with other people and help others come into that same relationship with Christ, and that they too would be transformed by his Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.